It's Live and Local, and it's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we'll be talking with Milt Scott, who is director of Opus 24, part of the Decatur Choral Society, who are giving their spring concert a week from yesterday at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur. And second up will be the March 4th Marching Band, who are performing at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night. And calling them a marching band is really quite an understatement, and if you stick around, you'll hear why. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was Opus 24, the choral group in Decatur from their fall concert of, just this past fall, performance at St. Patrick Catholic Church. And the tune was called Sing the Lord a New Song, Patrick M. O'Shea, the composer and brass ensemble, obviously, as you could tell, involved. And it was directed by Milton Scott, who is their music director, nearly founding director. And he's with me here on the show right now, here on Live and Local. They're about to give their spring concert at St. Patrick Catholic Church on next Tuesday. Milt, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you back. I was just talking to somebody this morning who I understand has known you a long time, Joe Grant, recently retired from the University of Illinois.
Yes, Joe and I go back a long way.
I think that was just about what, actually, I think he said we go back forever.
That's right. Yeah, maybe even a day or two before that.
Is the choral music world a bit of a close-knit ensemble, but organization across the country?
I think it is. I think you mentioned people's names and they say, oh, yes, I know him, or there's a lot of interaction, and you never know when you'll run into someone whose work you've done or someone who's been in your choir. It's a very surprising world out there, who you're going to meet and who will also claim knowing you, like Joe, you know.
Well, he didn't seem chagrined at knowing.
Well, I've had some students like sing in Joe's choirs, he's a good friend of some other friends of mine, so you mention a name and seems to just sort of ripple.
Yeah, well, he said, who's on your show today? And I said, that came up from there. Yeah, Joe Grant, longtime director of the Women's Glee Club at the University of Illinois, retired in the last couple of years, I guess,
right.
Professor of music education there. And, sort of a small world. One of the things I commented on to him is that, two things. One, from hearing the various recordings, at how good the choir sounds.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And he said, yeah, that's true.
That's very nice of you and Joe to say that.
But also from our previous conversations, you've often said how many people you get at your concerts, which is fantastic.
We had the concert this last fall was just huge. The St. Patrick's holds comfortably about 550 to 600 max, but we had 700 at the concert, so we
opened. Said 600 max, mm-hmm. And you squeezed in another 100.
Yeah, we found a good way to open the balcony and a few little side aisles and things like that. So we were amazed.
You didn't invite the fire marshal, I'm guessing.
I'm sure there probably was one there, but but I'm sorry, it was just too tight for him to get up and say anything.
Well, hopefully he's not listening. Is there such a thing as a fire marshal? An actual person?
I believe there is, yes. Matter of fact, at one of my concerts when I was at Eisenhower, I had four firemen present because I had their kids.
Yeah.
And so I know that they're there.
Well, hopefully they're not listening to this, but it'll be great if you have another packed house like that.
We would love it.
Well, that says a lot about the quality of the group and I guess about your marketing. Somebody's doing some good marketing.
We have some great people on our board to help distribute the news.
So tell us about next Tuesday's concert.
Well, next Tuesday's concert is some things that we have sung before. We've been getting ready to do this work of Ben Alloway's over in Ireland and Wales. So we've been kind of pulling back on lots of new music, but we do have some new music, but we have some things by Rudder and Stanford and Berkey and Gwyneth Walker and Keith Hampton, and even have a very nice arrangement of the William Tell Overture, which we're doing for choir. And
oh, really?
Yes.
Is that a lot of scat singing or something?
It's not scat singing. It's pretty true to the, I shouldn't say true to the score, but everyone will recognize it immediately.
Somebody set words to it?
No, actually, it isn't. It's just on some neutral syllables, ba-da-ba and bum-bum and kind of thing. Some
well, that's, I guess, what I meant by scat singing.
Sort of scat singing, but no improv,
yeah.
We hope. And then I have an ensemble of that I've put together, and we're going to sing some things from the King Singers book, and that's a nice addition to the concert, a little smaller group.
I don't remember from our previous chats, have you had small groups on the...
No, I actually had one on this last concert, this Christmas concert that we did. But this is kind of a new thing. And it's kind of fun. I'm going to expand it a little bit, maybe into a do some madrigals or some vocal jazz or an avant-garde piece or something like that.
Do you get to be a member of this small group?
I do if I wish, but I've been doing some singing, and I'm not sure I could make the group. It's that good sinus weather, so I'm conducting the group sort of from the side.
Yeah, so you're not singing this time around?
Not this time around.
Maybe in the fall when the allergies are done.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You don't have to audition for yourself.
No, but I'm sure if I auditioned, I would not make it. I'm just wondering sometimes what happened vocally in the Midwest, and I think it's the seasonal stuff, so which everybody's going through. So.
Well, yeah, I know. I had a young girl, a high school girl, who was on our show a little bit ago, and in the 3 weeks between her appearance live for one production and then 3 weeks later for another production, she sang twice on the show, and you could really tell that the allergies had kicked in 3 weeks later.
And it really affects the choir, too. I mean, every week I deal with that with the voices, so that's what you deal with. And
what do you advise for your singers for that sort of thing?
Well, I think it depends what the causes are. You know, some are flu-like things, and the others are just allergies. Lots of liquid, no caffeine, rest. They just have to keep their voices lubricated. But some of it comes with other things too. The voices are tired, or who knows? There are just lots of reasons why someone will say, "I just can't sing tonight." But a lot of them, if they don't feel they're contagious, will come and sit in at rehearsal off to the side and take notes. And that's really good, too.
Yeah, you can learn a lot just from paying attention.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I keep telling them.
Whether they're singing or not.
That's right, right. Pay attention.
Yeah. Well, we have another sample from your fall concert. And this is a traditional spiritual. I'm not sure I know.
Well, actually, it's not really a traditional spiritual. It's a new spiritual, and our soloists are very good, Jason Garrett, and I think on this it's Marcus Brown. So this is by Ton Thomas. So it's kind of a newly composed. I shouldn't say newly composed, but it's a newly arranged spiritual.
And it's Opus 24, led by Milton Scott. Is this unaccompanied?
This is unaccompanied, and you'll hear in the background they are to tap their feet on beats 2 and 4. So that's what you're going to hear, we think.
Count off, people. See if they got it right.
That's right.
It's live and local on FM 90.9.
This man.
was Opus 24 from their fall concert last year. Milton Scott directing, and it was Ton Thomas's reworking of a traditional spiritual. You might recognize it as Wade in the Water, and this was a new set of words. This may be the last time. Who was both soloists, but especially the first soloist? What a voice.
Yes, his name's Jason Garrett. He's been with us a couple of semesters. Really an excellent, excellent singer.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Marcus Brown, he's a wonderful singer, and he's been with us a long time as well. He works at Richland Community College.
Do you, I imagine when you audition singers, you must sort of note mentally, here's a potential soloist somewhere along the line?
Yes, and not only that, repertoire comes to mind. You know, I hear a voice, I go, wow, that would be really good on such and such piece, or, you know, I mean, I haven't heard the voice that automatically says, okay, I think I'll do Elijah, you know, but I, you know, how those things go.
Well, they always often talk, say in opera, if you're reading a biography of an opera singer, and so-and-so will say, well, this role was created for me, which I always thought sounds really, or sometimes they'll say the opera was created for me, but kind of like that, but not quite.
Right, right. The music's already been written, but if you have a certain number of soloists, you say, well, this would be a good year to do certain pieces, or certain set of pieces.
And probably the other way around, where if you're thinking, well, I might like to do this, but maybe it's not the right group this year for that particular song.
Right. That happens. That happens too. You know what your group is going to sound like, the mentality of the group. I don't mean mental capabilities,
right,
but sort of the direction we're going in. So some years it might be a Rudder Requiem year, like we're planning to do that next fall. And then 1 year might be a Vivaldi year. You never know.
And how much does the membership change from year to year?
It doesn't really change drastically. This semester, we have had a number of changes, but we usually sing around 40. I think we're singing 37 in this concert, and we sang 42 in the fall. It just happens somebody will transfer, change a job, get a health issue, whatever. And so they'll say, I need to sit out this semester, or I'd like to come back. So, but the nucleus really stays pretty stable.
Let's hear another sample. This one is from a concert a year ago at another church you frequently sing at, First United Methodist in Decatur, or at least sometimes sing there.
Right. Sometimes we do that one.
Mm-hmm. And what have we got here?
I think this is called Sun's Horizon.
Yeah.
Of Ben Alloway.
Now, he's a name that I've heard before. It might be from you or...
Right. Actually, some of us have premiered a work that he has just finished called Mass on the Celtic Journey. A number of us are going to go to Ireland and Wales with him and some of his singers from Iowa. And so we have done a number of pieces, and we commissioned one from him 11 years ago. And so every year I usually do a piece of his, and that one was one we did when he was here, so we revisited it, and it's a lot of fun. You have to have a real good accompanist, which I do.
Beth Creighton?
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll hear her sampling her wares, so to speak, with Opus 24, led by Milt Scott. You can go hear them in concert next Tuesday at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur. Concert starts at 7:30, and we'll give you information on how to get tickets after we hear this tune on Live and Local. sounds terrific. With Opus 24 and pianist Beth Creighton, Sun's Arisin', the name of the tune by Ben Alloway and Milton Scott, the conductor, who's with us here on Live and Local. You ought to put some applause on your recording. It's just my opinion.
I have that, but I also have him record one that doesn't have applause.
Ah, so it's always nice to hear it.
And he also makes a DVD for us.
Oh, good.
So I can
put that
see the applause.
Yeah. Next time, bring the applause along. It's nice to hear people getting enthused.
All right. Well, good. I'll do that.
Just comment from a your humble radio host here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it's the Opus 24 Spring Concert next Tuesday, 7:30, St. Patrick Catholic Church. How does somebody go about getting tickets?
Well, you can get tickets downtown at the Arts Council and also at some of the churches downtown, like First Lutheran, First Methodist, and First Presbyterian, and also at St. Patrick's Catholic Church, and any of the members. A lot of people know people in Opus, so everybody has tickets, but those are sort of the main sources for the tickets, and you can get them at the door.
And if somebody wants more information on the group, it's, I think, DecaturOpus.org?
Right, DecaturOpus.org, and that's our website, and you can also call 422-1422 for some information as well.
422-1422 in the 217 area. Go out and hear them next Tuesday. It's a fantastic group. And Milt, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to be invited every year.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have support for our show from the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in their Earthly Encounters concert featuring the music of Sibelius, Debussy, Dvorak, and Hovhannes. And Maestra Karen Lynn Deal's final concerts as music director on Friday, May 6th at Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and Saturday, May 7th at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. Information is available at ilsymphony.org. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. just heard a tune called Dynamite from the album Rise Up by a group that calls itself the March 4th Marching Band, and that's spelled a particular way, one word, M-A-R-C-H-F-O-U-R-T-H. They are going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on Thursday night, tomorrow night, at starting at 8 o'clock. And on the phone with me from St. Louis, where they are actually as we're having this conversation, is John Averill, who is the group's band leader and bass player. And pleased to have you on. Thanks for agreeing to join the conversation.
Thanks for the call.
My intern, Jason Hayes, actually found reference to this gig that I would have missed entirely otherwise, and I'm very glad he did. March 4th. Let's just have you address that first. The name comes from what?
Well, we, you know, basically put the band together for a party 8 years ago, and it was a Fat Tuesday party up in Portland, and we learned 7 songs and then practiced a couple times and played this party, but we decided we should name the band something, so we just named the band after the date of the party, which was March 4th, 2003. Seemed like a good name for a marching band. You know, we started off that way and then decided it was so much fun. We just kept doing it and started writing our own songs and started touring and recording. And we've actually evolved more into a big band of sorts, sort of an alternative big band. We're not really, we're sort of disguised as a marching band, but it's not, there's nothing about us that resembles a conventional marching band other than maybe our costumes and the fact that we have horns and drums.
Well, and even the costumes are pretty suspect. I was looking at several videos on your website, which people would certainly be welcome to do if they want to get an additional feel to what the group sounds like beyond what we're going to talk about. But I wrote down here, even before reading some of the reviews, that you guys are like part marching band, part circus, part carnival, part burlesque show, and part rock and roll act.
Yeah, it's got all the different elements, and, you know, depending on the personnel we have on tour, we, you know, will emphasize other, you know, well, different things. It's not so much a theatrical or burlesque anymore. It's more of a, it's kind of like a big rock show with circus elements. I think, since our last album came out, we've been our baritone sax player who writes some of our best songs. He started switching off on guitar, so now that we have guitar in the band, it definitely has more of a, you know, big rock kind of feel, but we're still playing. Our influences are still from all over the world, but yeah, I'd say that description's sort of accurate.
So the burlesque part of it, that at least in the videos I saw, include feathers and sequins and fishnet stockings and things like that. Are those all gone, or are those still there somewhere?
No, you'll still see plenty of fishnets and whatnot, but we've got some other, you know, some of those routines are a few years old, and we've evolved some different routines. Our best routines are the ones that are done on the stilts. We do some really great stilt acrobatic stuff. And
that's the circus part.
Pardon?
That's the circus part.
Yes, I would say so. And then we have a really great hula hooper and some other dancers who do different choreographed stuff.
At what point did you evolve some of these elements? Because you said you originally started for a Fat Tuesday party. Was this stuff involved from the beginning?
Yeah, it was. We started off with 4 horns, 10 drummers, and 4 still walkers and 6 dancers. So now we're a lot heavier. Now we pretty much tour with 8 horns, 5 drummers, and 6 still walker dancers, and of course we have bass and guitar, but those elements were there from the beginning, and they, you know, certain routines were put together for certain songs, and as the band continues to write more and more and more, you know, we rotate more of the newer songs in, so we've got different routines to accompany some of the newer material, and then a lot of our songs are just strictly for the audience to dance to. You know, we like to sort of show some dance pieces and then sort of break down that wall between the audience and the band and get the audience participating in dancing and sort of what it's all about.
Well, I read in several reviews on your website that the band members infiltrate the audience at times. Is that still an
mm-hmm.
aspect of the show?
Yes. I mean, yeah, especially the still walkers get out there and engage people. And it's sort of hard to not engage with because they're, you know, 9-10 feet tall.
Is there any reason for the audience to fear this element?
No, not at all. We do shows for families and kids, and kids really love the Stiltwalkers. They're the ones that would probably be the most afraid, but they're not.
So where did you get this idea? I mean, it's not exactly normal.
No, it's not. I mean, for me, you know, I play the bass. You know, I don't have a marching band background at all. But it just seemed like a really fun idea to do. At the time, you know, I had been putting together these parties where I was creating bands for one night. So I tried all different styles of music depending on the theme of the party. So we decided we wanted to do a Mardi Gras theme party. It seemed fitting to do some sort of a marching second line sort of band. And a friend of mine had this wireless gear, and he said, hey, you know, if you put this band together, you could actually play bass and you could march with the bass. And I'm like, well, that just sounds completely ridiculous, so I'll have to try it. And basically, you know, we used a marine battery to power the amp on a cart, and then I have a wireless receiver, so somebody pushes the cart behind the band with the bass amp on it, and then I march ahead of the band playing the bass. And it's kind of absurd, but we started off that way. And, you know, the people that I put the band together with, you know, I sort of brought the musical part, and then they brought I have some co-managers who brought the dancers and the Stiltwalkers in. They were all people, a lot of them were from the neighborhood we lived in sort of an artist community in Northeast Portland. And so all those elements were kind of thrown together. I was like, well, I'll take care of the band. You guys take care of the performers, and we'll do this show in 3 weeks and see what happens. And we all just came together and did it. And, you know, it was pretty loose, but, you know, the energy was there and the fun factor was there. So, you know, we just kept going.
So a regular marching band has a drum major who stands in front, marches, and waves a mace or else waves his or her arms conducting the thing. But you're kind of like the replacement for the drum major, it seems, with just marching with the bass.
Yeah, and sometimes I go out in front and conduct, and sometimes I hang out back by the bass amp and just play. I mean, I play the whole time, but sometimes I'll conduct while playing. But some of the songs, it just depends on the song. Like, there's a couple songs that one of our drummers will sort of take the lead on, and, you know, the drummers will count in a lot of the songs. Some of the horns will count in certain songs. We sort of don't have a frontman per se, so a lot of different people, you know, take turns throughout the set sort of being in the spotlight in the front, and, you know, whether it's a horn soloist playing a solo in the front of the band, or the drummers will step forward right up to the edge of the stage in front of the audience and play right there, and it moves around a lot. We shift around on stage quite a bit, mix it up.
Since you said you got your start in a Mardi Gras party, thought I'd play something actually from your live album from 2007, which you kind of described as having a New Orleans kind of feel to it, this tune called Wet Nap.
Yes.
Where does that title come from?
I don't know. It was written by our saxophone player, Benny Morrison, and I guess he would have to explain I don't know what it means. I think Wet Nap is one of those baby wipe towels or something. I'm not sure.
Well, I know that's
I don't know why you named the song that, but it does have sort of a New Orleans feel, but then it sort of has a strange back sort of breakdown in the middle.
Well, I know we always had those things when I was a kid riding around in the car on vacations, and that was our napkin substitute when we ate sloppy food. But in any event, here's the live feel of March 4th Marching Band from their tune Wet Nap, live album of 2007. And you can go see and hear them live tomorrow evening at the Castle Theater in Bloomington for an 8 o'clock show. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. tune is called Wet Nap, and it's the March 4th Marching Band from Portland, Oregon. They're going to be in Bloomington, Illinois tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock at the Castle Theater. And on the phone with me is John Averill, who is the bass player and semi-drum major for the band, in that you, if they are marching, he might actually be in the front of things. And you were. I was watching this. I watched this long, wonderful, long documentary of when you guys were in Germany. I don't know how long ago was that.
That was just last fall, actually.
Oh, just last fall. How often do you get overseas, and what's the typical reaction to this whole crazy show of yours?
Well, it's been interesting. We've been to we've been overseas twice, and the first time we just went to Germany for 2 weeks, and the second time we went to Germany for a week and a half, and then we went to Amsterdam and then down through France. So we've only been twice, and it's because these random, this cultural sort of organization in Germany found us and wanted to send us over there. So the first time we sort of mostly paid our way to go over there, and the second time they paid for the airfare. But the reaction's been pretty good, actually. With some of these, we've sort of been presented over there in sort of like a culture, like here's a concert, you know, presented by the bank of whatever, by March 4th Marching Band, as opposed to, you know, the rock and roll circuit kind of club thing, the small theaters that we do here in the States. But the reaction's been good, you know, whether the audience has been really conservative or whether it's been kids on the street. And, you know, we got the Germans dancing, even though they didn't look like they were going to when we started.
Well, it was interesting watching the video of the what I presume to be some of the German people who were in the sidelines of these videos, and they looked, well, they didn't look like they were going to dance. They didn't even quite look like they knew what to make of it. But then this guy comes on and said, well, you know, people around here usually aren't very emotional, but you got them worked up. So I guess that was a compliment.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we played. You know, we're definitely going to get more of the crazies showing up at, like, bigger cities like, you know, Hamburg. But with some of these, I think that quote came from a small town that we did. So it's sort of like a, you know, it's kind of like what happens when we show up in a small town in the U.S., you know, where people aren't used to that kind of excitement going on in the town.
Well, why don't you talk a little bit about what kind of gigs you do, you know, I guess from small town to the kind of thing you're going to do tomorrow in an actual theater, and what all else?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, we started off in Portland. We didn't tour so much, so we did a lot of stuff locally, and, you know, we get hired for a lot of, you know, street shows, and then we get hired for a lot of corporate and private parties that, you know, that ended up funding a lot of our touring ambitions at the time. But now we're pretty much touring most of the year. And we're playing clubs and small theaters and festivals seem to be what we're doing. And when I say festivals, we play everything from, you know, world music festivals to just full-on rock festivals to jam band festivals to festivals that have kind of a Burning Man crowd or DJs. We sort of tend to fit in a lot of different places.
And what about parades? Do you ever actually do parades?
We do. We don't do as many as we did before. We don't often do parades on tour because sometimes our routing just doesn't work that way. You know, if we happen to get a weekend gig in some city and they happen to have some sort of parade that we find out about and or they contact us, then we'll sometimes do things like show up and do, you know, some street fair or something, and then later on at night we'll go play the club in that city. But or when we get hired for festivals, sometimes we'll play a couple of, you know, stage shows in these big stages, and then during the day we'll do like a little, you know, sort of march around the grounds of the festival.
But you haven't so far been invited to do the Tournament of Roses parade?
No, but we are playing in Pasadena for the first time at some performing arts pavilion, and I imagine the organizers for that probably will be tied in with the Rose Parade.
Well, who knows? We could see you there some New Year's Day then. That would be quite different for that rather staid event, I think.
Yes, it would be quite different. You know, we don't march in a traditional formation. There's nothing military about us at all. We sort of street, like an amoeba or something. I don't know.
Well, and marching on
definitely loose.
Those on stilts have a whole nother set of skills about them, I guess.
Yeah, they do. I'm personally terrified of those things, but our stilt walkers are pretty world class, actually. I've seen them perform on all kinds of surfaces, and the most dangerous probably was those really thick cobblestones in Europe, because they have these large grooves between the stones that the stilt walkers, you know, foot pad, which is basically, you know, an inch and a half diameter, you know, rubber piece on the end of a stilt, you know, on the ground. It gets caught in there, and fortunately we haven't had any, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any major stilt injuries so far.
Well, I actually saw a bit on one of those videos with some kid playing soccer with one of your stilt people, which I thought looked pretty perilous.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, we've had a few soccer balls tossed around our way, so we're still walking around. Kick a soccer ball on stilts.
Let's hear another tune from your, I guess this is your most recent album, called Rise Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rise Up came out about, well, over 2 years ago. A lot of the material on it is about 3 or 4 years old. So we actually started recording a new record a month ago. It's being produced by a guy named Steve Berlin, who's the producer, who is also the saxophone player for Los Lobos.
Mm.
And we laid down all the tracks for 12 new songs. Hopefully have a CD out by the end of the summer that has more of our current material.
Well, and people can look for it on your website, which is, I didn't write it down. Is it just March 4th? What is the
website? It's March4thMarchingBand.com, all written out as one long word. And the 4th is spelled like the number. So it's March, F-O-U-R-T-H, MarchingBand.com.
And I wanted to play this tune called Nightmarica. It's a bit of a crazy tune, even in the midst of lots of crazy tunes. You want to describe how this one came about?
Nightmarica was written by our trumpet player Jason Wells, who he actually has a real job scoring music for film and doing the sound design, and he's a big film buff, and so he took the riff from West Side Story and kind of turned it around into this dark sort of song that's kind of theatrical, or kind of operatic at times.
So one can just sort of imagine the visuals that go on stage as this happens. It's the March 4th Marching Band. They're going to be in Bloomington tomorrow night at the Castle Theater. And we're talking with John Averill, their band leader, here on Live and Local. We'll be right back. That tune was called Nightmarica with the March 4th Marching Band. And you can go see and hear them live at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. The show starts tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And for tickets, you can go to thecastletheater.com. John Averill of the band is on the phone with me right now here on Live and Local. We're getting just a small sample of the style of music that you play, but it really does seem to run the gamut from the clips I've heard from sort of standard marching band or close to it, a big band, a jazz, some funk stuff. Where do the various influences come just from different members of the group and different tastes, or how do you get this mix all together?
Pretty much from the individual members. I think that's one of the things that's been the most interesting for me about the whole project is we don't have just one songwriter. You know, we have, I don't know, we've had like 12, 13 different songwriters writing different types of songs. And so we don't really have a genre, which I think is what makes us kind of unique. And that most bands, you can sort of pigeonhole them by saying, oh, it's this plus this plus this. But, you know, we started off with a lot of, our influences are all over the map. So you take any individual person and think of all the influences that, you know, influence them, and then start mixing that up over time and creating our own sound. We started off playing a lot of, you know, gypsy brass and New Orleans stuff and some Afrobeat and a lot of Latin stuff. And then we sort of incorporated more jazz and rock and funk into the mix over the last couple of years. So it's all over the place.
And also all over the place, as we described earlier, are the visual elements. You actually said that the costumes are maybe an element of the traditional marching band, but some of them are almost like really tongue-in-cheek marching band, because you'll see maybe an element of a standard, say, college marching band uniform, except the jacket is halfway open and the person may have, you know, fishnet underneath or not much underneath or...
Yeah, you know, we don't really dress too risque or anything. It's definitely an all-ages type experience. We don't expose, you know, there's nobody necessarily shirtless or anything like that. But the costumes, you know, we just sort of leave it to everybody to do whatever they want. We don't want people showing up on stage in jeans and T-shirts, so everybody's got to make some kind of effort. But there's no like overall designer to the whole project. Everybody's sort of on their own to find old marching band jackets from thrift stores and then augment them and add their personal flair or whatever they want to do.
Well, I read that there are a lot of artists, either full or part-time, designers, craftspeople in the group, and that all of these things, not only the costumes, but also the stilts and these crazy drum harnesses, are actually designed and produced by members of the band. Has that been true since the beginning?
Our stilt walkers, they build on stilts. You know, they actually cut the wood, laminate them, and you know, laminate the wood layers and put the do the castings for the braces. And our drum, one of our drummers is an artist. He's a metal artist and a welder. He welds all the drum harnesses out of, you know, recycled bicycle parts, and then all of our dancers make their own costumes. And, you know, we've got carpenters and other crafty people in the band.
And you sometimes do or offer workshops as elements of your appearances in various places on different aspects of the design?
Actually. We have done it occasionally when we've done stuff for schools, which has been pretty rare. And like I say, now that we're touring, we don't really have time to do that kind of stuff as much. But there is a new organization being spawned from the band. It's called the Joy Now Foundation.
Joy
and
Now?
It's just Joy Now, JOYNOW, and it's going to launch. Actually, I think they already launched the website, and we're going to be doing a big Joy Now summer camp in Portland this summer, where basically we take kids who have an interest in like learning how, you know, to, you know, play, you know, horns, drums, costuming, still walking, performing, hula hooping. We're going to offer this sort of a week-long sort of camp. That'll be more, you know, so this kind of thing we'd like to do more of, so I'm just glad it's happening.
Well, I read one of your reviewers somewhere along the line went to a show, wrote about it, and said that at the end of it he just wanted to run off and join you guys, sort of like running off and join the circus, which I guess speaks to the sense of exhilaration that you can get watching you all live, which is totally different from just listening to the music on the radio.
Yeah, definitely. Because, well, you know, I think we've got a lot of performers on stage, and they really, we really do love what we do, and we have fun doing it. You know, I mean, we try to play the best we can, and we take our music seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. And when we put on a show, we just try to, you know, do the job people are paying to come see us. You know, we want to have a, you know, put on a good time, and I think it can be infectious. It definitely, you know, you can listen to the records and watch the DVD, but all of a sudden when you're at a show and you have this performer like right in your face, smiling and dancing with you, you know, it's a lot more powerful, I think, of an experience.
It's John Averill of the March 4th Marching Band. They're going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. For information on the theater and other events there, go to thecastletheater.com. And for information on the band, go to march4thmarchingband.com. And be sure you spell fourth, F-O-U-R-T-H. Let's go out with a tune from your Rise Up CD. It's called Ninth Ward Calling. And I want to say thanks, John, very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, and I hope I see you tomorrow night.
Listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting Champaign, Common Ground Food Co-op of Urbana, and Prairie Boat Works Gallery Champaign and Lowell Heap Farm of Dewey. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible. We thank you all very much. And we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. A couple of other events in our listening area you might want to go out and see and hear live. The University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra and Oratorio Society are at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. UI Jazz Combo 2 is at the Krannert Center also tonight at 7:30, as is the UI Opera Studio. And it's For the Love of Pete, 92nd birthday celebration for Pete Seeger at the McLean County Historical Museum in Bloomington. That's at 7 o'clock. Tonight. And Fiddler on the Roof is at Muhammad Seymour High School tomorrow at 7:30 through Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.